Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchipreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with Jerry Slover, the Vice President of Franchise Development for NextZen Brands. And NextZen Brands includes a family of franchise opportunities that include The Athlete's Foot, Shoebox New York, Great American Cookies, Maggie Moo's, Marble Slab Creamery, and Pretzel Maker Pretzel Time. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchising can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free, the book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchipreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only publication that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing great this week, Marty. How are you?
Good, good. beautiful day out here in Pennsylvania today. It's almost one of those perfect days. I don't know how it's out in Jersey, but I suspect it's pretty similar.
Yeah, it's a nice spring day. It's tough to kind of be indoors.
That's what I was
going
to say. It would be nice if we do the show outdoors, you know. We'll have to do that one day. But our last show, we met with the president of Schlotzky's, Don Kelly Roddy, and fast approaching their 40th birthday, Schlotzky's, the home of the original round toasted sandwich, has decided to shake things up in a big way. The 350-plus unit fast casual restaurant has introduced an entirely new brand image that's attracting new kinds of guests and also refueling franchise growth. Michelle, what were your thoughts on last week?
I thought it was a really nice show. It's interesting how they're, you know, rebranding the image of Schlotzky's. It's, you know, very, I mean, it's not a surprise, but it's nice to see in during tough times how well they're doing.
Yeah.
I guess with the rougher economy, more people are going to their restaurants. I mean, they have many around the country. Gives
right.
you very good answers to a lot of questions. And I like some of the co-branding they're doing with Cinnabon.
Yeah.
And,
very
you know,
powerful.
The uniqueness of their... the bun, the round
sandwich,
bun, which
right.
is really,
it's like, I guess it's like round, it's like a 10-inch sandwich. I think you said it like has like 13 ingredients in it, Don. I never had it, but I got to tell you, I've been craving one ever since we've had him on the show, you know.
Yeah.
I wish I could find one around here, but it does, it sounds interesting. And this sandwich that they're talking about, he gave a great analogy. He said if you laid out like, you know, 50 different sandwiches from all the sandwich franchises or sub places, you would easily recognize a Schlotzky's, you know, I guess because it's very unusual. It's got that round shape to it. It's on a
right.
sourdough bun. Very recognizable. And I think this is still their most popular sandwich, Don, after like 40 years
right.
of being in business. I think it's like 50% of their sales or something.
They got pretty also aggressive plans. They want to double the size. And I think there's already over 400. It's pretty
I know.
Pretty
he said, I think, by 2015, that is. That's pretty aggressive plans for growth. He said something interesting because you and I were talking about brand recognition, you know, because you and I are both familiar with Schlotzky's. I think a lot of people are. And those are people who may have never even been in a Schlotzky's. He said that the brand is bigger than the company. You know,
right.
I didn't realize that they actually sell their products to Don in California in supermarkets. You know, and I was kind of wondering about that a bit. I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? But, you know, I think it helps when it comes to branding. You know, it's why
right.
you recognize that name Schlotzky's, you know. So I guess there's ups and downs to that. But
I guess he wants new franchisees to have some restaurant experience. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess any franchisor wants people to have passion and energy, some leadership quality, and I guess he says Schlotzky's is really a bakery, which is interesting. I guess
their breads
are cooked fresh every day.
Right, yeah. I was surprised at first when he said it because, you know, we always get mixed reactions on that question when we talk about experience. We say, you know, what kind of franchisees are you looking for? You know, and sometimes we'll get, you know, franchisors who say, you don't need any experience whatsoever, you know, but this was a little different. They were really looking for someone with restaurant experience. It doesn't mean if you don't have it, you can't get into a Schlotzky's, but the training is going to be pretty significant. I think it's like 6 months
right.
if you want to get into one, you know. So if you have no restaurant experience whatsoever. I like how they're using technology, too. It's a question we've been asking the last 6 months on the show, where you can actually call in, I guess, from your cell phone or your PDA, and you place
right.
the order, you just come in, show them your PDA, and you pick it up, you know? And I think they make the sandwich in like 3 minutes or something.
Right.
Talk about saving someone time, you know, because we're always on the go, aren't we? Especially, you know, the way life is today. It just seems like everything's rush, rush, rush.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So, what we'll have to do is we'll keep our eye on them. You know, we'll have them back, you know, next year as they continue to grow. We'll watch their growth. But I suspect it sounds like they're gonna hit their numbers like they're planning. I guess they'll be up to 700 by 2015. So it's pretty aggressive.
Yeah. Should be exciting to see what happens with them.
You know, and Jay Leno actually has plugged them on his show. And I think Oprah was saw in a Schlotzky's, was it 2 weeks ago, in South
right.
Africa, if you can imagine that. So, yeah, so good for them, you know. And we have another great show today, don't we? I ate breakfast today. I was making sure because, you know, anytime food is a topic on the show, I'm always a little cautious going forward because I was struggling last show. I just, what do we got going on today?
Or meeting with Jerry Slover, VP of Franchise Development for Nexen Brands.
They got
you mentioned on the intro,
portfolio.
They got several.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they got a couple ice cream franchises that are well known nationally. They, you know, the Athlete's Foot. I was buying, you know, sneakers there back in, you know, the mid to late 70s.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been around a long time. And talk about a powerful brand name, huh, Don? I mean, you know, the Athlete's Foot is definitely recognizable. What was the other one? I think it was Shoebox New York was the other one, you know. And so, yeah, they have an interesting portfolio of franchise brands, you know. So I'm looking forward to, you know, having Jerry on the show today. We also had Nancy on the show last week, too. I want to thank Nancy for coming on the show. She's always a wonderful guest. She was talking about the digital edition of Franchise Times, which is like this new technology. And so we're excited about that. We're going to have to keep an eye on that as well.
And I got the magazine yesterday and somehow snuck in some reading at dinner. My wife didn't notice.
I can only see you got to get a picture of that, you know, see eat and read at the same time, you know, keep the magazine on your legs. It's Franchise Times is going to, you know, come between you and your wife. But it is a great magazine, though, isn't it? I mean, it really just, I love how they do it, you know. It's just, you and I have been reading that magazine for years, and it's just, it's just fantastic, and she's wonderful, too. And I think at the end of this month, we'll have probably Mary Jo on the show. So we have like we're booked for the next 2 months, Don. I mean, we got such a great lineup of shows coming up for the summer. It's just
it's
going to
be great. This new Franchise Times, like Nancy said, they got an article about how hamburger franchises are really growing and specializing.
Yeah.
They have the article about the CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Chicken and what's going on with them. So you know, I'll be reading that tonight.
I've been talking a lot about that, you know, over the last week since we had Nancy on the show. You know, it's just, it's amazing to me, and I suspect that you're fascinated with the topic, too. I never pictured anyone, you know, competing with the McDonald's and the Burger Kings and the Wendy's. I never, you know, saw in the future all these hamburger joints coming back, you know, but it seems like, as you said, there's a lot of them, you know.
Right.
I mean, that Five Guys Burgers, Don, that they're out here in PA. I mean, everyone talks about them, you know, and I got to get out there and try their burger because I've heard nothing but good things about them.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I know you had some interesting topics, too, that we had to get to for this week.
Yeah, this is something interesting, Marty. Out of Small Business Trends, the new face of startups is a senior citizen by Anita Campbell.
She's
the
great.
Face of the typical startup entrepreneur these days is a bit wrinkly, sporting some gray hair and having the wisdom that comes with age. You know, we're not quite at that yet. Well, I guess a little bit.
We're getting there, right? By the end of the year.
But is it a good financial move to start a business late in life? According to recent research, these days, those 55 and over are more likely than young people to be starting businesses, says Professor Scott Chain, our friend. He was writing in Business Week. He cites research by Dane Stangler of Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation that showed in every year from 96 to 2007, Americans aged 55 to 64 had a higher rate of entrepreneurial activity than those aged 20 to 34.
Wow.
Kind of surprising.
That is kind of surprising. That's interesting.
Corroborating this data, in the 2008 U.S. Global Entrepreneurship Monitor reported recently showed that from 07 to 08, the rate of entrepreneurial activity, that is people actively starting businesses and people owning established businesses among seniors, Americans increase while the rate among younger Americans declines, so the same as the other study. Shane also assessed November 2009 Bureau of Labor Statistics data on unincorporated self-employment and found that it increased substantially with age. He also assessed data on incorporated self-employment, he said the incorporated self-employment rate is four times higher among those aged 65 to 69 than those in the 25 to 34 range.
Wow.
A whopping 25 times higher than among those aged 20 to 24. It's pretty incredible. Those 65 to 69
That's incredible.
Are starting businesses. What's the reason for the increase in older entrepreneurs?
Right.
Shane points to some theories. Perhaps the older generation is more entrepreneurial, or perhaps they have more job skills and thus the confidence to go into business for themselves is higher. And he talks about some other possibilities. Many people age 55 and up tend to be at a stage in their lives where they can afford to pursue long-held dreams of owning a business. chances are they are empty nesters. They don't have the expenses they had while raising children.
Mm-hmm.
Their homes may be paid for. They
mm-hmm.
may have accumulated savings that are now free to use. In fact, this may have they may have enough financial cushion that even if the business doesn't work out, it won't make much difference in lifestyle. They can afford to lose it. In later life, they just may be in better financial situation to take the risk of starting a business and pursuing that startup dream.
It sounds like there's less risk, you know, for the older
right.
group, as you were mentioning, than the younger. You know, where, you know, you say the 25 to, let's say, 30-year-old, you know, someone just graduating from college, talk about those, you know, college loans that you have to pay off today. I mean, those kick in,
right.
you know. So, yeah, that could be one big factor. I'm curious, in the article, Don, and it probably doesn't say, you know, you wonder what kind of business these seniors are going into. It would be another interesting study to kind of piggyback off Scott Shane's research, you know, and say, okay,
right.
of this group, you know, the 65 to 69-year-olds, what kind of businesses do you think they're going into? I'm sure franchising is part of it, you know.
Right.
I don't know what the percentage would be, but, you know.
Yeah, if we had that breakdown, that would be interesting, too.
That would be cool, you know.
Franchises, yeah.
Right, of the 100,000 that, you know, started their own business, you know, 10% went into franchising and, you know, whatever it may be. But it's kind of an interesting study, so, wow, that's something.
Now, on the other hand, it may be that those age 55 and over starting their businesses due to being laid off and unable to get another job. Self-financing a business is more prevalent among older entrepreneurs. So what if older entrepreneurs are tapping not only into severance pay but also into retirement accounts?
Into retirement, that's true.
Are they giving up their retirement future to start a business? This is a risk that could pay off and pay off big if the business is successful. But if not successful, it can mean a difficult and less secure retirement for you and your spouse because at that age you have far less time to start all over again.
That's true.
If your startup business doesn't pan out, the decision to tap into retirement funds for your startup looks very different when you have 20 or 30 working years left versus 5 or 10.
See, this is where I think. Don, this is where I think franchising comes in, though. You know what I mean? Because it's typically, you know, you're talking about like a 10-year commitment, you know, or a 10-year contract in most cases, sometimes 15 years. So that's why you would think, again, not everyone is made for franchising, but if they have the ability to follow a system, don't you think that franchising would be a good alternative for them?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because the success rates are a lot higher, you know, than just starting your own sub shop or pizza shop, whatever it may be.
Right.
You know, so that is kind of interesting.
And our friend Joel Lababa, the franchise king, he responded to this article. He says,
yeah,
Anita, you've made some great... Well, I'm sorry?
I said, Joel's great. He's good. We're going to have to get him back on the show.
Could you have waited until after I finish this?
I could. Go ahead. Just
Anita,
give Joel
you
a little
have
plug.
Made some great points here, as usual. You are correct about the 55-plus folks that are starting their businesses now. Lots of them are downsized executives and middle managers who've chosen to move away from corporate America to move towards something else, freedom and control. The risk is certainly there. The risk of losing a job after a year or two is a real one, too. Some of my franchise candidates, Joel says, tell me that they just don't have the energy or the desire to pursue new job opportunities in this market. Way too much competition, way too much time involved in doing so.
Yeah.
So Joel will know firsthand what's going on out there. He speaks to people all over the country.
Yeah, he does, absolutely. No, that's a very good point. Huh.
Yeah, so...
That's a great article.
Really,
I mean, it is.
It's
important, you know, and she's great, Anita Campbell. I mean, she has some fantastic articles. I think it's smallbusinesstrends.com. It's the website that I go to from time to time.
We've had, you know, several articles on here the last few years.
Yeah, she has a radio show, too, on Blog Talk, which is really fantastic. I mean, she covers a whole gamut of different topics relating to small business, you know, but... yeah, that's another great show to listen to.
Here's something, Marty. Wall Street Journal, financing programs aim to help franchisees. With bank loans scarce, companies create lending arms to assist business owners. The terms are sometimes strict. The moves by franchises to provide more aid come as many former top lenders, including CIT, Comerica, and Banco Popular, you know, a couple lenders I used in the past, have severely curtailed their lending, says Ron Feldman, chief executive at Siegel Financial Group. He's a colleague and a friend of mine in the business, specializing in franchise financing. They're based out of PA. And what we're seeing at some franchises will now provide credit enhancement to banks, such as partial guarantees on the loan, Mr. Feldman says. Others are helping candidates become more viable before heading into the bank. Dunkin' Donuts has reduced some of the royalty fees the franchisee would pay so long as the shop opens in targeted markets. Because franchisees pay those fees on the sales they make, they can show the lender greater profitability and ability to repay with reduced expenses, explains Grant Benson, VP of Franchising for Dunkin' Brands. At the IFA, Marty, trade group out of D.C., spokeswoman Alyssa Harrison says more franchises are brainstorming strategies such as developing internal financing divisions. Mm-hmm. Members have told us some of their highest quality prospects are still having a tough time getting financing.
Right.
Obviously, that's tough. You know, I see it on a daily basis.
But how do you feel about that, Don? I was going to say, not to cut you off, but, I mean, reducing the royalties, do you think the other franchisees get upset about that? Again, I don't know if they find out about that. But if you reduce the royalty for, like, let's say, your new franchisees by a percent or two, you wonder if there's any resentments.
I don't think there's any resentment if it's just for a certain time period.
If it's
first 3 months, 6 months, a year, whatever.
I think
existing franchisees would definitely upset if that's their permanent royalty. That wouldn't be fair. I'm sure it's just for a limited time period.
It's for a limited time. Okay, that would make sense. And then it just goes back to the normal rate that everyone's paying. Yeah, because I was going to say, if like word gets out about that, you know, I suspect that some franchisees might be upset about that. But again, the royalties help, you know, everyone. You know, I mean, that's what pays for like a lot of it. You know, advertising and the marketing and all that other stuff. So, yeah, okay.
And, you know, not Dunkin' Donuts, it's so strong, but if a lot of other franchises, maybe smaller, mid-size, and they're, you know, reducing franchise fees temporarily, to the existing franchisee, I mean, that can be a good thing for them because if their brand is growing and getting larger and has more power overall, it's a stronger system, that can help them too.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah, it does. It makes sense.
The article goes on, banks are expected to lend $6.7 billion to franchises in 2010, an amount that is projected to fall some $3.4 billion short on demand. So, you know, $10 billion or more is needed franchising. They're going to be a little short of that. And that was a study released recently by the IFA and Fran Data.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not all franchises are in need of a creative workaround system, as the severity of the credit crunch has varied from franchise to franchise. Prior to the recession, franchises often found startup capital at lenders that were partners with the franchiser. You know, many lenders had that franchise system as an approved concept, and sometimes they had special terms or, you know, the criteria, you know, wasn't like how it is now, Marty, where people have to put a higher down payment and have more experience in that industry they're investing in or have higher collateral, more cash reserve. You know, obviously it's tougher now to get a loan.
Right, that's true.
But lenders are now more wary of those franchises that carry high loss and delinquency rates. That's another thing lenders are doing, are looking more at the franchise system before they even, you know, consider the borrower.
Right.
See if they want to lend to that franchise.
Wow.
Before the recession, too lenient franchises sometimes funneled weak candidates through the startup process, says Bob Coleman, who collects data on loans backed by the SBA. According to a preliminary report compiled on loans from the government's last fiscal year, some franchises had loss rates as high as 27%. As a result, banks today look at the performance of the franchise, he says.
Which is why it's so, you know, important, as we mentioned, this whole thing is a relationship. You know, the franchisor, of course, has to be just as careful as far as who they take into their system. You know, it does have to be a match. It can't just be about money, of course. You know, we've seen that a lot on the show. So, yeah, that's interesting.
Talks about Quiznos. Marty created a lending division earlier this year that allows parties to buy a store with only $5,000 down payment.
Wow, $5,000. Jeez.
So people can get into the franchise really, you know, but I'm sure there's a downside to that, and maybe more of their profit is going back to pay Quiznos to get back what they need to be able to properly, you know, have that franchisee in their system.
Sure, absolutely. Oh, it's interesting. I mean, it's a great article, Don. I mean, it's important topics too. You know, and we're going to continue to talk about this because it's it's an obstacle, you know, that a lot of franchisors, of course, are facing right now. And franchisees, prospective franchisees, you know, they want to you know, get into franchising, but they're coming across this obstacle. So,
but it's still a major topic. It's still a major concern, unfortunately.
I didn't think it would be so much, you know, that we'd still be talking about this, because we started talking about it early last year. God, it's almost over a year now we've been talking about this topic, you know.
The power of the Great Recession, you know. It's been the worst thing we've seen in decades, or, you know, since 80 years, really.
Yeah, it's a lot longer than I think a lot of us anticipated, you know. So,
right.
But anyway, why don't we do this? I see Jerry has called in, so let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Jerry Slobert, the Vice President of Franchise Development for NextZen Brands. And NextZen Brands includes a family of franchise opportunities that include The Athlete's Foot, Shoebox New York, Great American Cookies, Maggie Moose, and Marble Slab Creamery. Hey, Jerry, how you doing today?
Good. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Jerry. Oh, you're welcome, Jerry. Jerry, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Jerry.
Thanks for coming on the show, Jerry. We appreciate it. I'm a big fan of a few of your brands. I do franchise financing nationwide. I've been working with Maggie Moose for years and know a few of the people at your company, and you know, we're glad to have you on.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Jerry, I'd always like to ask our guests where you're calling from this morning to get an idea of what the weather is there.
I'm calling you from our office here in Norcross, just outside of Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, good. Pretty. Nice. And Jerry, what were you doing before joining NextZen? I had a chance to see your bio. It looks like you have plenty of retail experience, so NextZen seems like a perfect match for you.
Yeah, this would be my 18th year with the Athlete's Foot.
Wow.
Started out with them. I held different roles with the Athlete's Foot, but over my tenure with them, we worked in the training department for a while, ran the training and then operations, and migrated over to development through the real estate and construction side of the business, and really just came on board with NextZen as part of the acquisition. The Athlete's Foot was one of the acquisitions that NextZen had made early on.
That's great.
When was the last time, Jerry, you paid for a pair of sneakers?
That's a good question.
Probably 93.
A long time.
Tell us about NextZen. Tell us how NextZen got into purchasing some of the brands and got into franchising. It's a real interesting story.
Yeah.
Yeah. It started out on a platform of through an organization, a company called UCC Capital, which was really kind of putting a valuation on intellectual property.
Right.
Which was a kind of a new idea, a new concept of, just really trying to figure out what is the value of a logo or a brand or a system. And NextZen kind of sprung out of that and really looked at, the franchising sector as being the area to play in this intellectual property category. So they started out in 2006 with the acquisition of the Athlete's Foot. And the Athlete's Foot really kind of established the platform of how we would conduct the franchise model. Shortly thereafter, I think it was spring of 07, we made the acquisitions of Marble Slab Creamery and Maggie Moose, and then worked to try and get those two brands integrated into the systems of how we were doing things. Quickly, behind that was another acquisition of Pretzel Time and Pretzel Maker, and those, again, were in late 07. And then we rolled into 08 with the acquisition of the Great American Cookies, got that brand into the system, and then literally within, seemed like weeks behind that, was a joint venture that we entered into with the Shoebox New York brand, which is a women's fashion footwear concept. So it's kind of been the evolution. It was a very quick acquisitions mode of buying companies, integrating, and getting everything set up on the platforms. But it's worked very, very well, and so we end up coming out of that with a multi-branded company where folks have the opportunity to select either a retail concept or a QSR concept and have the ability to franchise through those modes.
Wow. Yeah, it's a real interesting mix of franchises.
Yeah.
I can see a lot of families going out and, hey, let's buy a nice pair of shoes, let's buy some sneakers, then we'll go celebrate by having cookies and ice cream.
Those
are all your brands there.
Yeah, how many countries are you guys in, Jerry? I mean, in store locations. I mean, it's up there, isn't it?
Yeah, between all of the brands, we're right about 1,700 stores, and it truly is a global company. We operate in 35 countries.
Wow.
The business is about a $700 million business, and what always strikes me is just being our global presence, because it's not like we just have a couple stores in Canada and Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're truly global. We're in some of the most obscure places. I had a call last night with Guam about putting ice cream in Guam, and we already have an Athlete's Foot store there, and so we're really in some really fascinating places.
That's great. Do you get to go to any of these places, or I suspect you do?
Oh, yeah.
When you say Guam, a lot of people don't even know where it is, It's just amazing.
Yeah, it does afford you the ability to go travel. You know, with our master owners, we offer them the services of going over and doing some real estate assessments with them and traveling the markets, and they get operational support from our ops team on store openings and ongoing training.
That's great.
I didn't realize, Jerry, you're in that many countries, and I guess that's a selling point. The franchisees being such a global company and having such a presence, being known worldwide. What are some of the other selling points with a franchise coming into the system, being part of Nexen? How do you describe the franchise, to new prospects in general?
Well, I think, when somebody's entertaining going into the franchising business, for us, we because we're a multi-branded opportunity for them, it gives us the ability to kind of leverage some of the services that we do, and things like aggregate purchasing, on fixture packages and lighting and different things related to construction. We do aggregate buying where we're buying from one central source, and because of volumes, you get better pricing. So there's some of those synergies that really work to our benefit. And translating the benefits of being a global company from a marketing standpoint, that's always a difficult thing to put a quantitative number to. But, there is a value to having this presence as a global entity. So, I think those are some of the things that kind of play to our advantage, being multi-branded.
Yeah, definitely.
Has technology played a role with some of these different franchise systems, Jerry?
These brands are, they're fairly well-established brands. I mean, the Athlete's Foot going back to 72, the cookies, in the 80s, and ice cream coming out in the 80s. So they've had to kind of grow with technology, as I think all of us have, and technology's kind of crept into everything that we do these days.
Right.
In 2007, we kind of recognized we wanted to launch our own web portal, nexenfranchises.com. So we really have kind of put that technology to play for us, where folks can go to one central web portal for Nexen.
Right.
There's frequently asked questions. Each of the brands has its own representation of of what the brand attributes are and why you would want to go into those brands. beyond that, just from an internal standpoint, once folks are part of the system, we've established an intranet. We call it Next Connect, and basically what that is it's a user-protected, username and password-protected internal database where they can go on and they have all of the libraries of resources for them, directories, and there's even a kind of a chat function for them to share best practices and so forth. So technology from that side of it's been a big part of that, and just continuing to evolve and roll with the new technologies. And social media has become a huge component of franchising now.
True.
I think Nexen was, I think we were pretty early into that game with with Facebook and Twitter.
Right.
We were pretty quick to get involved with that, kind of recognize that it could be something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the challenge now is to continue to offer content that drive people to those sites so they're getting value out of it. It's not just you have a a Great American Cookie Facebook page. You have to give them something to go there for.
True.
And so I think that's really where we're at right now, is I think we're a little ahead of the curve in that we got in early. And our our risk there is that we need to continue to provide value and content to those social network sites. I think those things are going to be a terrific opportunity in the future for franchisors across all sectors. We as franchisors, we really need to kind of tap into that and kind of see what the potential of social networking is.
Yeah, I think you're right to concentrate on that. I guess with some of your food brands, Jerry, I guess part of the strategy is to have to give franchisees co-branding options.
Yeah, we early on kind of. When you put the strategy together to bring a multi-branded company together, you kind of look for and you say, okay, well, this concept looks like it would feed well with this other concept. And for us, we've had, even though it's been a relatively short period of time of putting these brands together, we've had some quick learnings around co-branding in particular. What we found is that it can't be an afterthought for us. And it can't be a strategy of trying to lift a struggling franchisee out of a struggling situation. So what we've done is we've really come up with the and I don't know who coins the phrase, but co-development is what we're calling it versus co-branding.
Hmm.
And that what that really is from a consumer perspective, it's two stores. And then you get the synergies of the back of the house where you're sharing the kitchen area and the production area in the back side. But from a consumer point of view, they really are seeing two separate offerings. And it allows us to leverage, you know, the real estate from a leasing standpoint. And we treat those as two separate units so that we don't end up with, hurting an average unit sales from one unit to another.
Right.
And it also gives the franchisee the opportunity to kind of pull revenue from both sides of the unit.
In our first segment, Jerry, we talked about an article how older people are becoming entrepreneurs, people in their 50s and 60s, getting into a business because maybe they cashed out, they're looking for something to do, or maybe they've just been downsized and they have to get into franchising. Are you seeing that with Nexen? That type of new franchisee?
Yeah, and I think the economy's kind of pulled some of that generation into this as well, with people being outplaced, with the job market being what it is, and, somebody in their 50s, may not want to go back in and try and entertain training a new employer on how they
right.
do things. So, for them, it may be a better opportunity for them to go step out and to take this step into franchising. And just by its very nature, franchising kind of lends itself to people making, career changes where they don't have to be the expert. They just have to be the expert at following a system.
True. Yeah. We use the word, and I guess Don gets credit for this one, Jerry, is forced entrepreneurship.
Right.
They're forced into it,
Exactly.
Yeah, it does seem like franchising is that great alternative to that situation. What's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since joining Nexen, Jerry? Anything that stands out? Anything that surprises you?
Well, I think, I personally am very blessed to be able to work with some of our franchisees. We have some terrific, some of the most phenomenal business-minded people that I've ever known in our system. So, just getting to work with them is part of the best, most intriguing thing is, why is this person selling cookies? They're so, this guy is a genius. And we're just so fortunate that he loves the business, so he stays with selling cookies, So we have those kind of folks in our system. I think probably the most interesting thing for me was I was preparing for a trip to Kuwait, and we have a franchisee in Kuwait who's got 10 or 12 stores with the Athlete's Foot. Preparing for that, always there's my wife had anxiety. I had anxiety to go to Kuwait. Sorry, I'm sharing a story with you, but I step off the plane. I go through all my visa stuff, and I get to they release me to leave the airport. And I'm standing at the top of the escalator, and I look down, and there's an Athlete's Foot store in the Kuwait airport.
Wow.
So it was like I come down the escalator. I go into the store, and all my anxieties are gone. I mean, I'm at home. I've been there 17 years, so I'm standing in one of my own stores in Kuwait. It's kind of, it's just kind of a surreal thing to think that you can go from country to country and see brands that you see at home, and the systems are the same. The food, the cookies taste the same. The ice cream is terrific, and the service is the same. So, that's probably one of the stories that I tell people is that you get to see a piece of home everywhere you go.
Oh, absolutely! Yeah, it is. It's a powerful story. I felt the same way. I was in St. Kitts for some time, and I remember seeing the one American franchise was KFC, and it just made me feel at home,
Right.
When you see that, it does. It gives you that comfort saying, here's a piece of home, so you don't get so homesick. But I think that's a great story, though, It's fascinating. Jerry, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Sure, absolutely. Love to. Thank you.
Fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who wants one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Jerry Slobert, the Vice President of Franchise Development for Nexen Brands. And Nexen Brands includes a family of franchise opportunities that include The Athlete's Foot, Shoebox New York, Great American Cookies, Maggie Moose Ice Cream and Treatery, and Marble Slab Creamery. And Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, Jerry, maybe talk to us about the training process.
Sure. Our office in Norcross, we actually call it Nexen University, and it's really kind of been built around the platform of training franchisees, and training really being kind of the success of our model. Franchisees who come into the system will come here to Nexen University, and Norcross is just outside of Atlanta, but they come here for what we call classroom training. We give them a one-week session of classroom training here at our offices. During that session, they're going to meet with each discipline of the business, from operations to marketing. We even let the lawyers talk to them. So everybody gets an opportunity to speak with the new owners and kind of go through kind of share with them what each department is going to do for them from a service standpoint, what we need from them to make this thing work. And basically goes through all of that classroom training with them here in our offices. Behind that, we also send them for a week-long session at store level, which we call platform training. And at platform training, they're really just rolling up their sleeves and getting into what really the day in the life of running this business is about. So they're going to be receiving inventory. They're going to be, you know, making product, producing the ice cream on site, baking cookies and pretzels on site, checking in shoes. But the most important aspect of the platform training is really to get them the exposure to the interaction of what we want them to do when it comes to embracing the customer and giving them that time to see, you know, how our best stores perform when it comes to a customer interaction, and kind of let them get a, you know, maybe sometimes for the first time, let them see what the customer sees from the customer perspective of buying this product and how the customer reacts to it. So
right.
Two sessions, 1 week in class, 1 week on the out in the field on a platform.
Okay, good. Is there a typical day for a franchisee? I guess you have several different brands, so I guess it depends on which one. But I guess the franchisees probably have a combination of, you know, managing their employees, marketing, making sure the product's there. It's probably a little bit of everything, right, Jerry?
Yeah, the kind of, you know, the day in the life of being a franchisee, you know, there's going to be different segments of the day that are important to different concepts that we own. You know, our ice cream franchisees will spend their mornings, you know, prepping. Ice cream isn't something that just, you know, suddenly appears. They're actually making fresh ice cream on site. They have to make it. It has to sit in a holding freezer for 24 hours. So they're doing that type of prep work, you know, in anticipation of business coming to them in the evening. So their morning sessions are around that, and obviously, you know, the administrative side of keeping a business running. And then the cookie, you know, our cookie and pretzel guys, you know, we're baking cookies fresh every day. So the you know, think of any bakery that you've ever seen. They're in there very early, start making cookies for the day. And the cookie and pretzel business kind of lends itself to it's more impulse-driven. So,
right.
You know, essentially, you could be hit at any moment. When there's feet on the street, you could be hit at any moment with a big rush, and you need to bake some more cookies. So it's not nearly as predictable as the ice cream business is. You know, after dinner, we're all hitting the ice cream shop.
Right.
Yeah, no, it's true. The majority of our listeners, Jerry, are aspiring entrepreneurs. We call them franchisepreneurs, looking to buy a franchise. What advice would you give to them in their quest to buy a franchise?
I think it's very, very, very important that they do lots of research, and I think everybody would say that from the very beginning. But one aspect of that research that I would encourage everybody to do is contact existing owners within these concepts. Doesn't matter which route you're going from a franchise standpoint, get access to and contact and talk to the people who have already been there and done that,
right.
Because you're getting ready to do that. So you might as well ask them the questions, you know, if you knew 10 years ago what you know today, would you do this again? And, you know, the
good
answer
question.
Better be yes.
Right.
And so I would say you encourage them to continue to do research, in particular with the people who have already been there.
Yeah, no, I think,
yeah, great,
I think
advice.
That's fantastic advice, absolutely. And what are the plans for Nexon's future? I mean, continued growth, I imagine, of course, in new countries, and just keep growing. What would you say to that, Debbie?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously, you know, as a franchisor, the model is you want to continue to grow. I think that, you know, our businesses are mature, so we need to be fairly smart about how we grow these businesses. And, you know, we've started to put together strategies around which markets we want to focus on, and, you know, specifically within those markets, what are the trade areas. So I think it's going to be, we want to be controlled growth, and we want to make sure that we're bringing in, you know, businesses, we're putting businesses in that are going to be successful. We don't want to be churning things around. So it'll be a controlled growth strategy for us. And the international market is still a huge opportunity for us. We entered 22 countries in the last 24 months.
Wow.
So the international side of this business will continue to be really kind of a focus for us.
And I imagine a lot of them are in airports too, Jerry. As you mentioned, it seems like a lot of these franchise opportunities would be like in airports, as you were mentioning, the athlete's foot, you know, as you landed into Kuwait Airport. Seems like a great location as well for some of them.
Yeah, we actually just hired a new vice president of non-traditional development, Tony Valles, and he's working diligently around, you know, looking at opportunities for us for college campuses, airports, theaters, you know, and the non-traditional side of things, it's a different animal, but at the
right.
same time, I think that there's huge opportunities for brand exposure. You know, you go into a stadium with 60,000 people, you're going to get some exposure. So,
yeah,
you know, I think it's a good marketing side of things as well for us. And Tony is a terrific guy. He's been in the business for a long time and understands this non-traditional venues very, very well.
Fantastic.
Which ice cream do you like better, Marble Slab or Maggie Moose?
Oh, see, now you're killing me. I eat both, and
yeah,
I do it
absolutely.
Well.
That's
high quality, excellent ice cream, yeah.
Jerry, what's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee with your family of opportunities?
I would encourage everybody to go to nextinfranchises.com. That's our web portal. You'll get frequently asked questions, and there's all the contact information for our regional development managers as well.
That's great. I think it's great you have everything on one location now, too, you know, with one easy website to just go to, you know, to do all these websites. I think it's a very clever idea, you know. I want to thank you again, Jerry. You've been a fantastic guest, and we'd love to have you back in the near future.
Anytime, fellas. I really appreciate your time, and thank you for allowing me to speak to you about
that. Thank you, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Great job.
Thanks. We'll see you guys. Bye-bye.
Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, but like I told him when he came on, I'm a big fan of the brands. I'm more familiar with a few of them from being in franchise financing. But, yeah, you know, it takes a while, and like he said, it's all pretty new.
Right.
Having all their brands, it's still pretty relatively new company, NextSend, but,
right.
You know, with the right management people like Jerry, I'm sure they're, you know, they're going to be growing and doing some good things.
That's amazing how many countries they're in, aren't they? Were you surprised? I mean, when you found out how many countries they're in, I just didn't realize they're all over the place, you know? I mean, Kuwait, Guam, I mean, you know, in all those different locations. I mean, that's fantastic. I like how you use the word, too, co-development. I haven't heard that word before, have you?
No.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about co-branding, you know, so...
Right.
I think that's great. But it's a great show, Don. Good job on segment one. And for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com. And we have another great show next week, Don.
That's right. Just like you said, a few months of more information. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be very interested in hearing the upcoming shows.
Absolutely. We're going to get those all posted on the websites as well. So thanks, everyone, for listening. And I'll talk to you next week, Don.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.